Before I start, I want to just reiterate what Paul said about between the services. Our missionaries will be in rooms 9 and 11, and there's coffee and juice and cookies, and I think I saw Dunkin' Donuts boxes there, so there's goodies for us too, so we look forward to that time. I want to thank our scout troop. They donated a new American flag that flies over our campus out by the Family Life Center, and you'll see that as we come forward to July the 4th holiday next weekend, the weekend holiday at least, that'll be there. We remember Stephanie Carson, who is away for a rare vacation. She's gone both today and next Sunday. She is with family. I think part of that time includes being on a cruise together in the Caribbean, and so we pray for them, especially as there are some tropical storms in that direction. So we pray for calm waters for them. The sermon for this morning is entitled, "It Will All Work Out." The passage is from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis. I'm reading in chapter 15, verses 1 to 12, and then I'll pick up at verses 17 to 18. Let me share with you just a little of the background of this passage. It is a passage in which God had previously promised Abram, short for Abraham, that he would provide him with an abundant land and many descendants. But we learn in this chapter that Abram still remains childless. And so we learn here that God makes a covenant through a particular ceremony of that day and time that was common. Makes a covenant promise with Abram to steady him in his time of doubt and uncertainty. And so listen as I begin reading God's word at verse 1, chapter 15. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great.' But Abram said, 'O Lord, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and my heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'You have given me no offspring, and no slave born in my house is to be my heir.' But the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir.' He brought him outside and said, 'Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess.' But he said, 'O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?' He said to him, 'Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him." And then moving to verse 17, "When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I give you this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates.'" Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. Oh God, we pray this morning that you would speak the word we need to hear, not simply what we want to hear. By your Holy Spirit, show us what we ought to do, not just what we want to do. Indeed, may we model, O God, the obedience and humility of your Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. For you, O Lord, you are our refuge and strength in times of trouble, and you are our hope for all the years to come. Amen. I know you have had the experience, and so have I. The experience, for example, of having to call customer service of some company that you have done business with. And whenever I know I am about to do that, there is a dread that comes over me. I think, here I go again, down that journey of a black hole to voice messages, touch tone choices, and a long journey of finding a human being to talk to. Please, a human being to talk to help me with my problem with this particular company, not just to put me on endless hold. My most recent unsuccessful journey this week led me to be on the phone and on the internet for several hours with a car windshield company. I had a crack in my windshield, and I tried to get them to straighten out the problem they had caused in installing the wrong windshield. All I could get was, well, this is our policy. I persisted. Really, I did persist. But they won, at least for now. And then there is also, and you know this perhaps, at times we try to figure out a medical bill that should have been covered, but it wasn't. And it was not your fault. Someone, somewhere, billing your insurance for some test that was done, forgot to code the procedure correctly, and now you'll continue to get those medical bills until that's satisfied in the months to come. It'll finally get settled, but it'll take some time. And you know, as I do with situations like this, it's easy just to lose heart at times. To lose heart. There are times that things often don't work out the way that we plan them to work out. The job turns out to be a constant frustration. The trip has to be canceled because of illness. A family member perhaps suddenly becomes ill or dies, and life is in upheaval. It seems at times that our prayers go unanswered. It seems at times that even when we're more fervent, the circumstances seem to become more complex. I have said that phrase in the past to my family, it will all work out. I've said that to both of my sons, oh, in time, it'll all work out, don't worry. I have spoken those words to distraught parents struggling with a teenager in their household having trouble. I have uttered those words in a confident voice to older adults being discharged from the hospital, having to go to rehab, and they're not wanting to go. And I've said in waving to them, don't worry, it'll all work out. What I'm saying is, more than a few times, those words have left my lips, and perhaps they've left yours in giving advice and trying to comfort others. And I have thought to myself at times, am I really so sure? Am I really so sure, Pastor, that it will all work out? Well, that's the very question that old Abram was hinting at when he questioned God. God had called Abram to leave his home in Haran, a lost town somewhere in what is now northern Iraq. And I have understood from our missionaries that there is now an active archaeological dig there, even today. But that is where God promised. He promised Abram that he would be the father of many nations. Abram obeyed, he obeyed God's call, and now, as we read in chapter 15, he has wandered all over the Middle East, encountering all kinds of troubles, and then there is Abram's doubt. Abram points this out to God. He says, God, I still have no children, and my only heir is some shoestring third cousin named Eliezer of Damascus. How am I to be the father of a great nation if I have no descendants? In response to him, God took him into the desert night sky and pointed out the stars and said, your descendants will be like these number of stars. they will be vast. And Abram trusted that God would work it all out. Now later, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans in his famous letter in the 8th chapter, he wrote these words, "All things work together for good for those who love God." A millennium and a half later, after the book of Romans was written, Martin Luther would take up Paul's point about Abram and hone it to the sharpest edge during the Reformation of the church. Namely, Luther would say that our developing a relationship of profound trust with God is what it's all about. As a matter of fact, Luther said it this way. He said, the kind of trust we should have really takes the form of three things: faith alone, grace alone, and Scripture alone. In other words, trust, 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 said Luther. Luther also made a powerful statement that I had forgotten, but I reread this week. Luther said, even if we must accept finite disappointment, even if we must accept finite disappointment, we must never lose infinite hope. Those are treasured words. They should be. This relationship of trust between Abram and God, it's formally named a covenant. And it was sealed in our reading, as you heard, in this startling, bizarre ceremony, which would have been quite common in that time. Like Abram, I also believe that many, if not all of us, sometimes struggle to trust God's promises about the future. But I have come to understand that there are some caveats that we have to take in consideration when considering how things will work out. Several considerations, two conditions I want to mention this morning. Two caveats to this fundamental trust that things will all work out. And the first caveat is this: that even though it may all eventually work out, it doesn't necessarily work out according to our schedule or our timetable. It is also to say, following Jesus is not easy. Being faithful to God is not easy. And if anyone has ever given you this impression, then let me apologize on their behalf today to you. Because following Jesus and trusting God in all the changing circumstances of life, in all the places which we live, is not always easy. And so we can understand that even if we find it hard to accept, we can understand that there are many people who give up. They give up in faith and they become discouraged. Would you believe me if I said there are some who give into despair as people of faith? There are some even who become cynical. But there are others who do not give up, and there are some who have given up, who have returned to faith from time to time in their lives, who inspire us. And we need to remember that, as well as those who've despaired. I was inspired some years ago, as many of you may have been, by the story of the 33 Chilean miners who were trapped in a copper mine. It was a fascinating story that occurred. For 17 days, no one even knew if they were alive or dead. They might as well have given up, one might think. They didn't know anyone was on top looking for them. And they may have wondered, where is God? And above ground, many people may have given up after a couple of weeks. Surely they must be dead by now. But everyone in that story persisted. After 17 days, they discovered that those 33 miners were still alive. And the miners began to send up letters affixed to a small probe that had been lowered down to see if there was anyone there. And one of the first messages to reach the surface was scrawled in red ink on a scrap of paper, and it read, "We're all fine in this refuge, all 33 of us." All eyes of the world were on, for a short time, those 33 miners, trapped for more than 2 months underground. Can you imagine? 2 months, not just the thing we've experienced this past week with the submersible looking for 3 or 4 days, for 2 months trapped. People from all over the world provided aid to those Chileans to try to rescue. They tried to help the government to help those trapped miners. And many may not remember this, but embedded in the story is the incident that occurred about an international rescue team from NASA. They provided significant help from their long experience of protecting human beings in hostile environments like space and shuttles. NASA's initial support for the 33 included recommendations on medical care, nutrition, psychological support, and finally they helped to design a vehicle to bring the miners up and rescue them. And they did. After emerging from that mine safe and sound, they agreed that their faith in God, the miners said, their faith in God had helped them to endure and survive those 69 days. One miner, in fact, a 19-year-old named Jimmy Sanchez, he emerged from the mine and he told the reporters he wanted to correct one thing in all the reports that he had heard on the radio that they had lowered down. He said, "I want to correct one thing. There were not 33 of us. There were actually 34. Because God," he said, "never left us." Now, even this morning, you can read recorded in the Tampa Bay Times the story of those indigenous children in Colombia who survived the plane crash, their parents killed, and that story is embellished this morning in the Times about rescuers who did not give up and the children who persisted for 40 days in the jungle, and they were rescued. The point is that sometimes it will all work out, but it may not be on our timetable. It may not be on our schedules, and you and I must confess we are children of a culture of impatience, living in a culture where everything seems to be instantaneously solved, or at least that's what we want. It's hard to develop patience in a world like this. And so, as some of you know, in this service, as Stephanie Carson transitions to part-time and leads only our traditional service at some point in the future after the summer, we hope, when we find someone to lead this contemporary service, I expect there will be some people who will say, "Have we not found anyone yet?" It takes time to listen to God's will, and we'll do that. A second caveat before I close is to trust that we trust it will all work out, but the fact is, it may indeed work out, but it often does not work out exactly the way we want it to. And that can be a hard truth. I'm thinking this morning, perhaps like some of you, of those times when things don't work out. I'm thinking specifically, as you have this week, about that disastrous implosion of that tourist-promoted Titan submersible, and the loss of those 5 lives as we watched that rescue try to play out all week, only to learn they died instantaneously last Sunday. Again, I would point you back to the quote from Martin Luther, "Even if we must accept finite disappointment, we must never lose infinite hope." There are often no easy or quick answers to working things out. And as we learned from NASA, as NASA has learned from all of that exploration with space shuttles going into space and the creation of other submersibles that have taken quite some time to develop, there are no shortcuts in scientific exploration, and there are no shortcuts to faith or in life. It takes time, it takes patience, and it will take endurance if things work out. God promised Abram descendants, remember? And when Abram and his wife Sarah, what they doubtless had in mind was lots and lots of children. And what happened? They had one named Isaac, and his name means laughter. And yet, God promised Abram many descendants. And later there would be many, many descendants of Abraham and Sarah, but not anything like Abraham and Sarah ever imagined. And there are many. And so, yes, it may indeed all work out, but remember, it often works out in ways that we never imagine. Some of you may remember that Harold Kushner, Rabbi Kushner, died just at the very end of April. He was the author of When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And Kushner's faith and his words in many of his books and speeches, they have provided comfort and peace to millions of people, especially people who face life's most difficult questions. What does God say about bad things happening? One of the many things Kushner believed was that we can trust in God's unlimited love and unlimited grace when bad things happen. He believed that even when tragedy comes, God's grace and love will always help to see us through it. And so I ask you this morning, will you give up in your prayers? Or will you hold on with the faith that clings tightly to God's promises? I would encourage you to have faith and trust in the God we know in Jesus Christ, that it will all work out. Let us pray as we close. Oh God and our Father, we thank you for these times together. We thank you for your word made known to us. Help us always, O Lord, to pray, pray, and pray some more, and in all situations, to never lose heart. In Christ's name, amen.